And so we're there in Judges chapter 7. And in Judges 7, as we heard the story, the famous story, of course, of Gideon and his 300. And at this time, the children of Israel are under bondage under the Midianites. And we see Gideon with a band of 300 men. What does he do? He brings deliverance to the people from the Midianites. And look at verse number 20, if you would, Judges 7, verse number 20. It says, "And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers, and held the lamps in their left hands, and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried," and here we find the title of my sermon, it says, "The sword of the Lord," notice, "and of Gideon." That famous verse, the same famous words, "the sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And we see that God, along with Gideon, brings deliverance. He brings deliverance from bondage. And in the story, we see how God wants to partner with Gideon to fight the battles, to bring deliverance, to bring freedom for the children of Israel. And in the same way, you and I, God wants to partner with you. He wants to partner with me to help us have victory in our lives, to help us, to help free us from the bondage that there is in our lives. We're here in Judges 7, but go quickly, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. Keep your place in Judges 7, but go to Romans 7. You see, you and I, we may not be fighting the Midianites. We don't see Oreb and Zeb, but there is a battle that you and I are engaged in. There is a captivity that is trying to take control of you, that is trying to take a hold of you, that you and I must face, that you and I must battle. And God wants to come along with us and partner with us to help us fight that battle. You say, we're not fighting the Midianites, but who are we fighting? Well, in Romans 7, look at verse number 22. Romans 7, 22, the Bible says, "For I delight in the law of God after," notice, "the inward man. But I see another law in my members," notice, "warring against the law of my mind." And here we see the battle of the Christian, the battle that you will face for the rest of your life as a Christian. It says, "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind," and notice, "and bringing me," what, "into captivity." What is that? That's bondage. "Into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." You see, there's a law in your members, a law of sin that is trying to bring you into bondage, that is trying to make you a captive to that sin. And tonight I'm preaching about how to fight the bondage of sin. See, you and I, none of us are perfect. We all have sin, and whatever that is for you, all of us are sinners. And it's a battle that you and I will fight until we're redeemed, until the last day, right? Until our bodies die. But you and I must face this battle of sin. Look at verse number 24, Romans 7, 24. It says, "A wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God," notice, "but with the flesh, the law of sin." And we see this internal battle that you as a Christian, that you will face for the rest of your life. The battle of the inward man and the old man. The battle of the spirit versus the flesh. And in this story in Judges 7, we see how God wants to partner with you, how God partnered with Gideon to bring freedom, deliverance from that captivity. Keep your place in Romans 7. Go back to Judges chapter number 7, Judges 7. And so I'm talking about how to partner with God to fight the bondage of sin. And all of us are sinners. None of us can sit there and say, "Well, I have no sin." None of us have attained. You know, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Right. All of us have sin. You have sin. I have sin. And whatever that is for you, hopefully the Holy Spirit's bringing something into your mind that you need to work on. But all of us, we all have sin. We all have things in our lives that we must work on. And God wants to come along with you and partner with you and partner with me so that we can overcome the sins that we face in our lives. And in this story, in Judges 7, we see three things that you and I can apply in our lives, how we can overcome that bondage of sin, how we can have victory in our lives. Judges 7, look at verse number 1. It says, "Then Jerubbaal," who is Gideon, Judges 7, 1, "and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Mori in the valley." Verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Gideon," notice, "the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." Notice verse number 3. It says, "Now therefore, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart." You see, the first point, how are you going to have victory? How does God want to partner with you in your life in overcoming the sin in your life? Number one, you must surround yourself with the right people. You must surround yourself with the right people. Notice in this battle that God tells Gideon, there's too many people around you, Gideon. There's certain people that are around you, Gideon, that you just need to get away from. That you need to surround yourself with the right people. And what does God say? He says, whosoever is fearful, notice, and afraid, let him return and depart. He tells Gideon, there's some people around you, Gideon, that needs to just go away. And in the same way, in your life and in my life, we need to examine the influence in your life. See, if you want to have victory in your life, you must surround yourself with the right people. But notice in these verses, in verse 3, there's a certain people that God says to depart from. He said, whosoever, notice, is fearful and afraid. And there's a reason God uses those people. Keep your place here, but go to Deuteronomy chapter number 20. Deuteronomy 20. You see, there's a reason that these people needed to go. There's a reason that these people needed to get away from Gideon. And look, and in your life and in my life, we must examine the people in our own lives. Examine the influence in your lives. You see, why did God want those who are fearful and afraid to get away from Gideon? Well, in Deuteronomy 20, if you look at verse number 8, Deuteronomy 28, the Bible says, and the officers shall speak further unto the people. Here we have God giving the children of Israel command for when they're going to go out to battle, right? And you and I, we're in a battle today. We're battling our own flesh, right? And he says, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, in verse 8, and they shall say, notice, what man is there that is, notice, fearful and faint-hearted? The same people that God told Gideon, get away from these people, send them home. He says, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Notice, let him go and return unto his own house, lest what? Lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart. You see, these people who are fearful and faint-hearted, they can infect you. They can be a negative influence in your life. You say, what should you do? You should get rid of the negative influence in your life. See, when we talk about surrounding yourself with the right people, you must choose to get away from the negative influence in your life. See, there are people who can have an effect on you, but in a negative way. And all of us, we affect each other. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, it says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You see, you can look at the success of your Christian life, your life in general, based on the people that hang around you. Why? Because a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We can look at you, and if you're just hanging around people who don't love God, who don't care about the Bible, don't obey the commandments, chances are you're going to be like that person. Why? Because these people can affect you, but in a negative way. So you can look at your life, and you can determine the success of your life as a Christian based on the people that are around you, based on the influences in your life. And in order to have victory, you must get rid of the negative influence. You see, why did God want these people who are afraid and faint-hearted to get away from Gideon? Why? Because they can affect you, but in a negative way. So what should you do? You should get rid of the negative influence in your life. Go to 2 Corinthians, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians 6. You see, how does God want to partner with you? You must surround yourself with the right people. What does that mean? That means you got to get rid of the negative influence in your life. It means you got to examine those that are around you. And look, and if you're trying to live right, and you're trying to do right, you got to understand that the devil will put people in your lives to hinder that. They're going to come alongside of you and want to be a stumbling block in your life. You should get rid of these negative influences in your life. 2 Corinthians 6, famous verse, look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 6, 14, the Bible says, be not, notice, unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Look, if you have friends, loved ones, people you know that are unsaved, but they are against you, they are against you going to church, they're against you living for God, they're against you, they're actively against it, then you got to realize that those people, you need to get away from those people. I'm not saying be rude to them, I'm not saying be mean, but you need to cause a separation because they can affect you in a negative way. Keep reading. It says, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Notice, there is no fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness. There's no communion with light and darkness. There's no fellowship with Christ and Belial. So what's God saying? Notice verse 16. It says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice verse 17, it says, wherefore, notice, come out from among them, and what? And be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You see, how is God going to help me in my life? Well, you must learn to separate from those who are against the things of God. Learn to separate from those who are causing you to stumble, who are against you going to church, who are against you living for God. And look, and when it comes to sin, if you're in a sin, like, for example, like drugs and alcohol, for example, you ought not to be hanging out with people who are doing drugs and alcohol. If you get invited to that party, you should say, you know what? No, I'm not going to go there because they're going to affect you in a negative way. And in the same way, if you want to be a soul winner, but people deter you from wanting to go soul winning, you got to realize that that's a negative influence in your life. and he should learn to cause some separation. Why? So that God can receive you. It says, notice, come out from among them and what? And be separate. See, there's a command from God to be separate from those who are against the things of God. And if you're going to have victory in your life over sin, over any area in the Christian life, but especially over sin, you got to learn to have some separation from those who are just unbelievers that are actively against you going to church. But it goes on. It goes further. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. You see, how do you partner with God to fight the bondage of sin? You must learn to surround yourself with the right people. What does that mean? That means get rid of negative influence. And look, that means unsaved people that you know that are actively against you. I'm not saying be mean. I'm not saying be rude. But if they're fighting against you, you should learn to separate from that. You know, many of us here, many of us have done that maybe. But the Bible even says that we should separate even from people who are saved but can be a negative influence in your life. You should learn to also cause some separation amongst even believers who are causing you to be affected in a negative way. 2 Thessalonians 3, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, now we command you, brethren, notice, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, notice, that ye withdraw yourselves. Notice, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. That ye withdraw yourselves from every, notice, brother that walketh disorderly. See, there's a command even, not just to separate from the unsaved, but to even separate from those who are believers, but are what? But are walking disorderly. And notice, and not after the tradition which he received of us. You see, Paul is saying that there are people that we've taught, that they've received tradition from us, but they're causing you to stumble. They're walking disorderly. They're not walking in the commandments of God. And if they're saved, God says, you know what? Even separate from them. And notice, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. So you got to realize that even saved people can have a negative influence in your life. Look at verse number 11. It says, for we hear that there are some which walk, notice, among you, disorderly. These people aren't just outside of the church. No, they're among you in the church, walking disorderly. It says, working not at all, but are what? But are busybodies. Now them that are such, notice, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Notice verse 14, notice. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, it says, note that man and have no company with him that he may be ashamed. Paul is telling the church Thessalonica, it says, notice, and if any obey not our word by this epistle. What is that? That's the word of God. That when the Bible is being preached, you can note these people. That if you note that people, they don't care about the Bible. They don't care about what's being preached. They don't care about what's being taught. That you can note these people, and when you note them, it says what? Have no company with him. So you ought to guard yourself as a Christian and realize that even a saved believer in church who is walking among you can cause you to stumble, can be a hindrance, can be a stumbling block in your life. And what does God command? It's not a suggestion, it's a command to step away, separate yourself, and have, notice, no company with him. Why? It says that he may be ashamed. But notice verse 15, it says, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You see, there are certain sins that are prevalent in church, like the sin of gossip, for example. And if you, as a lady, if you find yourself, or even as a man, that you get around brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, and all you do is just gossip, and you tattle, and you complain, and you murmur, you ought to note that man and step away. You say, but they're a believer. Well, God commands you to note them and step away. Why? Because they're making you sin. They're being a hindrance to you. And so realize that, look, you ought to protect yourself. And people, whether saved or unsaved, can cause you to fall. They can cause you to stumble even in a church setting. So realize that people around you can cause you to fall in a negative way. And so what should you do? You should get rid of the negative influence in your life. Go back to Judges chapter 7. You see, how do I partner with God to fight the bondage of sin? Well, number one, you got to surround yourself with the right people. What does that mean? That means get rid of the negative influence in your life. But it's more than that. Not only should you get rid of the negative influence, but you should surround yourself with the positive influence. Surround yourself with the positive influence. Notice Judges 7, not only does God tell Gideon, to get rid of certain people. But notice what he says in verse 4. It says, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be, notice, that of whom I see unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. You see, God tells Gideon, there are certain people, Gideon, that I want to go with you. There are certain people that need to go with you, that need to fight with you. In the same way, look, God wants you to be with people, and God wants to use people to help you have victory. But notice, it's the right kind of people. It's certain people. It says, of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go with thee. So God's not just saying, hey, you just go with everyone. No, there are certain people, Gideon, that you need to get around. Verse 5, it says, so he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hands to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, notice, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So here we see God sending thousands of people home. And God's saying, you know what? You can't fight with these people, Gideon. But there's only 300. There's only a certain number of people. See, it's not about fighting with everyone. It's about fighting with the right people. And the right people in your life can help you win victories. Go back to 2 Thessalonians, if you go to 2 Thessalonians 3. 2 Thessalonians 3. See, you should not only get rid of the negative influence, but you should surround yourself with positive influence. You go back to 2 Thessalonians 3. Look at verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians 3, 7. Notice, for yourselves know how, notice, ye ought to what? To follow us. Paul says, for yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. See, Paul is saying there are certain people that you should follow. That there are certain people that you should allow to influence in your life. There are certain people that should be influencing you and helping you along the way. Notice how you ought to follow us. Notice, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. You see, how do I know who the right person is? Just watch the behavior. Watch the behavior of people. It says that we behave not ourselves, notice, disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but notice verse 9, but to make ourselves what? An ensample unto you to follow us. You see, you got to find people that you see as an example. That will help you, make you a better person. See, if you walk away from people, whether it's unsaved or saved, and you feel like, man, I feel worse than I did than before, then you got to realize that there's a reason for that. But there are certain people that when you get around them, they encourage you in the things of God. They help you out. They do right. You want to be like them. And they want to be like you. Why? Because iron sharpeneth iron. Those people you should allow to influence you. That's the right influence in your life, the positive influence in your life. So find people that when you're around them, they encourage you in the things of God. They want to help you get rid of that sin in your life. They don't discourage you about going to church. They don't discourage you about soul winning. No, they encourage those things. They don't cause you to sin when you're out with them alone. No, they help you be a better person. They help you be a better Christian. Why? Because we affect each other. And look, the Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners. If there's evil communication, it's going to corrupt you. No matter what it is, whether they're saved or unsaved, it's going to corrupt you. Why? Because this is what the Bible says. So don't think that it's about fighting with everyone, Gideon. No, it's about fighting with the right people. And you, in your life, realize that God wants you to surround yourself with the right people. What does that mean? Examine your life. Get rid of the negative people. Get rid of the negative influence and surround yourself with the positive influence. Go back to Judges 7. Judges chapter number 7. You see, how do I partner with God to fight the bondage of sin? Number one, you surround yourself with the right people. What does that mean? That means you get rid of the negative and you surround yourself with the positive. But number two, you see yourself as God sees you. You see yourself as God sees you. Notice what God does for Gideon in the story in Judges 7, verse number 9. It says, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down into the host. Notice, for I have delivered it into thine hand. So God told Gideon right there, I've given you the victory. It says, I've delivered them into your hand. Look, notice verse 10. It says, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with fear of thy servant down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with fear of his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So get the story here. God told Gideon, look, I've given you the victory. I've already delivered the people into your hands. But if you're afraid, you know what? Take fear of. And go down to the host and hear what they say. And notice what happens in verse 13. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. Verse 14. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Notice what God allows Gideon to do. God allows Gideon to catch this dream to catch this vision of what could be, this dream, this vision of Gideon leading the people, of Gideon bringing the victory for his people. And what does God want Gideon to do? God wants Gideon to see a vision of victory. And in the same way God already gave Gideon the victory, in the same way God has already given you the victory. And God wants you to have that same vision. You know, you ought to have visions in your life as a Christian. The Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. You ought to have visions of what could be in your life. See, if you're in some sin right now, you ought to have a vision of being free from that sin. Why? Because God has already given you that victory. And in the Christian life, if you want to be a soul winner, hey, have that vision. If you want to be three to thrive, have that vision. But look, have visions of victory in your life. And we see that God wants Gideon to see himself as God sees him. See, God saw Gideon already as the victor. And in the same way, God wants you to realize that he's already given you the victory. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So how do we partner with God? Well, you ought to see yourself as God sees you. You know, often in life, we see ourselves a little down. We look down on ourselves. And when it comes to the bondage of sin, look, the bondage of sin can bring you down. It can weigh on you. But you ought to have the vision of victory in your life. You ought to have the vision that, you know what, God has given you the victory over the sin. God has given you the power, the Holy Spirit, a church, the Word of God, to give you that victory. And God wants you to have that vision. You ought to have a vision of what could be in your life. You know, if you're a man and you want to be a preacher someday, hey, have that vision. And say, you know what, I vision myself getting up there and preach. Have a good vision. If you want to have a vision of being a soul winner, of being the right Christian, of being whatever, just have that vision. But you know what, realize that God has given you that victory. And don't allow yourself to be bogged down by the bondage of sin. And if there's some sin, look, have a vision of victory over that sin. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse number 55. The Bible says, O death, where is thy sting? Verse 55, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Notice, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Romans 6. It says, thanks be to God, which giveth us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter number 6. Romans 6. And look, when it comes to sin, look, realize that God has given you victory over that sin. God wants you to have that vision of being victorious. Romans 6, look at verse number 6. The Bible says, knowing this, Romans 6, 6, it says that our old man, notice, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Notice that henceforth we should not serve sin. Look, the Bible says here that the old man is crucified with Christ. And realize that that it's not that the old man is just completely controlling you. Look, you have the power to control the old man. The old man is crucified with Christ. Look at verse number 7. It says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Notice, death hath no more dominion over him. Look at verse number 14. Go to verse 14. It says, for sin, notice, shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Notice it says that sin shall not have dominion over you. Look, and if there's a sin in your life that you feel like, man, it's just controlling me, it's just consuming me, look, the Bible says that sin shall not have dominion over you. And look, I believe that. And look, you got to have that vision of realizing that you have the power to have victory over sin. That says that sin shall not have dominion over you. And look, the Bible says that it says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And look, so if there's a sin that you're struggling, like there's a sin this morning that we heard of being self-righteous, we ought to control that sin and have dominion over that sin. And if there's a sin like maybe drugs or alcohol or pride or laziness or missing out on church, not reading your Bible, look, all these things are sins. We should have dominion over those things. Those things should not have dominion over us. Why? Because God hath already given us the victory. Go back to Judges chapter 7. Judges 7. You see, what does God want me to do? God wants you to see yourself as God sees you. Like, God has already given you the victory. And so what does Gideon decide to do? He hears the vision. He hears the dream. And what does Gideon do? Look at verse number 15. It says in Judges 7:15, it says, and it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, notice, it says that he worshipped and returned to the host of Israel and said what? And said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. You know what Gideon didn't do? Gideon just didn't hear the dream and just listen and did nothing. You know, oftentimes we come to church and we hear these sermons about how you can have victory over sin, you can get over sin, you can be a great Christian, you can be here to thrive, you can be an example to people. We hear these things, but we do nothing with it. But Gideon, what does Gideon do? He says, notice, he says he worshiped. And what does he do? He says, arise. Notice, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. You see, what did Gideon do? He heard the vision. He knew that God gave him the victory, but notice, he walked in that victory. He embraced that victory. And the same way you in your life, you got to learn to walk in that victory, to embrace the victory of the sins in your life. Go to Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5. You see, how do we partner with God to fight the bondage of sin? Well, you got to see yourself as God sees you. You realize that God has already given you the victory. It says God has already given us the victory, but you should also, you should walk in that victory. Learn to embrace that victory. Galatians 5:16, we heard it this morning, Pastor quoted it. Galatians 5:16, it says, notice, this I say then, it says, walk in the Spirit, notice, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Bible says that if you were to walk in the Spirit, then you would have victory over your sin. It says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, I believe that if we would be just spirit, if we'd be walking in the Spirit, then we'd have victory over sin. That if you would be reading your Bible, meditating on the Word of God, going to church, listening to the hymns, singing the hymns, that you would have victory over these things. And we often struggle with sin because we try to fight sin in our flesh. We try to find things to help us have victories over sin by doing the carnal thing. But it's not one with the old man. No, it's one with the new man. It's one by walking in the Spirit. And God promises if we walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So Gideon, he hears this vision, he hears this dream, and instead of just listening and doing nothing, no, he says, arise, let's do something. And he chooses to embrace that victory. But you in your life, you got to choose to embrace the victory that God has already given you. Why? Because God's already given you the victory. But the Bible says, just walk in the Spirit, and he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Go back to Judges chapter 7. Judges 7. So how do we partner with God to fight the bondage of sin? Number one, you surround yourself with the right people. You get rid of the negative influence in your life. You surround yourself with the positive influence. Number two, you see yourself as God sees you and realize that God has already given you that victory, that sin does not have dominion over you. And you should choose to do what? To walk in that victory. But number three, go back to Judges 7, look at verse number 16. And what do we see that Gideon does? He hears the vision of the dream. And what does he do in verse 16? It says, notice, and he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And so what does Gideon do? He divides the men into 300 companies. He gives each man a trumpet. He gives them empty pitchers and he gives them lamps therewith. What is Gideon doing here? Gideon is making a plan. You see, what's the third thing you should do? You should start taking the lead. And how do you do that? You start that by making a plan. And look, in your life as a Christian, you ought to have plans in your life. You ought to have a plan, a strategy for fighting that sin in your life, for becoming the Christian that God wants you to be. You should start making plans because it's not going to be done by accident. You should choose to put some steps in process to get you that victory. Go to Romans 13 again. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. So number three, how do you partner with God to fight the bondage of sin? You start taking the lead. What does that mean? That means you make a plan. See, Gideon, he decides to make this plan. He divides the 300 men. He gives them weapons to go out to battle. And we see that he's making a plan. And you in your life, when it comes to sin, you need to have a plan to fight the sin in your life. You need to have a plan, a strategy to help you overcome whatever sin is hindering you in your life. Romans 13, look at verse number 14. It says, notice, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, notice, and make what? Not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Bible says, make not provision for the flesh, and that's not done by accident. When it says not make provision, these things are done on purpose. And look, and when you're struggling with a sin, like for alcohol, for example, you gotta realize that, hey, I can't walk down certain aisles in the grocery store, or I can't go to certain places. If you have a gambling problem, you gotta realize that you ought not to go to a casino. You know, if you're a young person and you're talking to somebody of the opposite sex about things you shouldn't be talking to, you got to not make provision and plan to stay away from that person. Or tell your mom and dad, say, hey, this person's talking to me about this. They want me to sin. And tell them this is wrong. But look, have a plan and identify the sin that you're battling and make a plan to overcome that sin because it's not going to happen by accident. And look, laziness is a sin. And if you struggle to get up early in the morning, you got to put your alarm further away and force yourself to get up. And one thing that's prevalent in churches today is social media. And if you have the sin of wasting time on social media, just spending hours looking at your phone, neglecting your family, neglecting your job, neglecting God, because you're just busy on the phone, look, plan to turn the thing off. plan to give it to somebody else and say, walk away from me. But make a plan, make a provision. Why? Because it's not going to happen by accident. But have a plan to not make provision for the flesh. And there's some things that you should just set up in your life, some boundaries to help you win that victory over that sin. In Luke 14, 28, the Bible says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it. See, God wants you to sit down first and make a plan. Why? Because it's not by accident. Church victory in the Christian life is not going to happen by accident. It happens by making a plan. And one of the great ways of having victory in life is just by being faithful to church. And we have church 3 times a week all the time, soul winning every week. And there's a reason for it. Why? Because it keeps you from sin. And so plan, if you have a problem, plan to be in church every time the doors are open. But look, but make a plan. Whatever the sin is in your life, choose to make not make provision and have a plan to have victory over that sin. Go back to Judges 7. Judges chapter 7. You see, how do we partner with God to fight the bondage of sin? Number one, you surround yourself with the right people. You get rid of the negative. Surround yourself with the positive. Number two, you see yourself as God sees you. Realize that God has given you the victory. You got to walk in that victory. You should start taking the lead. Make plans. And you should also, lastly, you should also set the example. You should set the example. Notice what Gideon does in the story in Judges 7, in verse number 17. Judges 7, 17 says, and he said unto them, notice, look on me and do likewise. And behold, notice, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that, notice, as I do, so shall ye do. You know what Gideon does? Gideon decides to take the lead. And he decides to do it to set the example for other people. Gideon said, look on me and do likewise. And then he said, as I do, so shall ye do. And you in your life, when it comes to fighting against sin, you ought to just start taking the lead and being the example and just showing people, hey, this is how it's done. I've heard how it's done. Now I'm going to take that lead and show people how it's done. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians 8. See, oftentimes we wait and wait and wait for God to do something, and nothing gets done because it's not just the sword of the Lord. No, it's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. It's not just God. No, it's you partnering with God. See, coming to this church is not enough. It's you playing your part. Why? Because you have to do your part. And it's not going to happen by accident. You must take your part and embrace what God wants you to do. 2 Corinthians 8, look at verse number 11. It says, notice, now therefore, perform the doing of it. It says, now therefore, perform the doing of it. That notice, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. See, the Bible says, now therefore, not tomorrow, not later. But you know what there is a lot of? It says that as there was a readiness to will. See, there's a lot of people who are ready, who are willing to do what's right, who are willing to live for God, who want to get that sin right. But the Bible says, now therefore, perform the doing of it. That means today, make provision today. That means that if you're struggling with your phone all the time, that means that tonight you're going to set some boundaries and do something about it and put it somewhere else, put it away, give it to someone. But the Bible says, now therefore, perform the doing of it. It's not enough to have a readiness to will. We all have the readiness to will, but you know what? There needs to be a performance out of that will. Go to James 4. James 4, look at verse number 13. James 4, 13. You see, what should you do? You should set the example. You should show people, hey, this is how it's done. He said, look on me and do likewise. As I do, so shall ye do. James 4, look at verse number 13. James 4, 13, the Bible says, notice, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. The Bible says, go to now. And look, there are people that have told me, oh man, I'm going to get started with soul winning. I'm going to go soul winning this weekend. And that was like years ago, and they've never been soul winning. And look, when you walk around the room, there's people who want to do things, people who want to start reading the Bible, people who want to start praying, people who want to get rid of that sin. But the Bible says, go to now. And oftentimes, we wait for tomorrow, we save for the next day, we wait and procrastinate, and you never change and you never grow because you don't go now. Verse 14, it says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Notice verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Look, this verse is for me. If I know I should be doing good today and I don't do it, to me it's sin. if you know you should be doing good and you don't do it, then the Bible says that's it for you. You say, when should I get it right? When should I set the example? When should I take the lead? You should do it now. You should do it today. If you know you're hanging around people you shouldn't be hanging around with, then tonight just separate yourself and cut that fellowship. That's causing you to sin. That's being a stumbling block. But the Bible says go to now. And you ought not to be the person that's just waiting and waiting and waiting and nothing ever happens. Go back to Judges 7, if you would. Judges chapter 7. So how do we partner with God to fight the bondage of sin? Number one, you surround yourself with the right people. You get rid of the negative. You surround yourself with the positive. Number two, you see yourself as God sees you and realize that God has given you the victory and you should choose to walk in that victory. And number three, you should start taking the lead. What does that mean? That means you make a plan and you set the example. Make a plan when? Now. Today. To get right. To do what's right. And you set the example. The Bible says now. But notice in verse 18 again. Judges 7:18, it says, notice, when I blow with the trumpet, and we're going to end here. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets, also on every side of the camp, and say, notice, the sword of the Lord, notice, and of Gideon. Again, it's not just the sword of the Lord. No, it's the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. In the same way, you can come to this church three times a week. You can go soul winning and think, man, God's just going to change me. But look, you must do your part. It's not just God. It's not just this church. It's not just this pastor. No, it's you doing your part. And if you just don't do anything, if you don't apply anything in your life, you don't make those changes, you just come here, pat yourself on the back, you're never going to change. You're never going to grow. You're never going to have that victory, right? Because you don't do your part. And you think, well, I'm going to be great because I go to this church. But no, you must take up the sword and own it and make it yours and apply what you've heard in your life. Why? Because it's not just God. It's God and you. It's not just the sword of the Lord. It's the sword of the Lord and of, can you say, what should I do? You should, number one, you should surround yourself with the right people. Examine your friends. Get rid of the negative or surround yourself with the positive. Number two, you should see yourself as God sees you. God has given you the victory. You must choose to walk in the victory. And number three, you should start taking the lead. What? Make a plan and set the example. When? Now. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for our church and for your word. And I just ask that you be with each one of us. God, help us to walk in you, to love you more and more, to fear you more, God, and to be the church and to be the people that you want us to be. I just pray that you be with the fellowship tonight, God, and I just thank you for our church. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.